welcome to another episode of Title Chasers with Zach and Will. Today we'll be talking about the aftermath of the NHL Finals, along with the current state of the NBA Finals. We'll be discussing John Morant, the Red Sox, along with the David Ortiz shooting. So this past Sunday night, David Ortiz was shot in the back from an unknown Dominican man. Apparently, some of the information is that they were paid $7,800 of U.S. money, equivalent to 400,000 pesos, to do so.
Yeah, so Sunday night when most Red Sox fans were watching the Bruins absolutely stomp the Blues, they found out through, you know, social media or whatever that Ortiz was shot at a bar in the Dominican Republic. It initially looked like a robbery. That's what a lot of the articles were saying, and the story was just developing as it was happening. But it turns out that allegedly the gunman was paid by unknown people, good amount of money, to carry out a hit, about 400,000 Dominican pesos, which is the equivalent to about 8,000 U.S. dollars, roughly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just really crazy. It took me back hearing the news because David Ortiz is just, he's my favorite ball player, you know?
Of all time. He's my childhood hero.
Yeah. You know, I grew up watching David Ortiz. My first game I ever watched when I was 11 years old, it was on TV in my living room, you know? And I tuned in, I think it was like the third or fourth inning, and we were facing the Blue Jays, and it was just in time to see Ortiz just smack it into right field for a home run, you know? He's my favorite baseball player, you know, and it really, really sucks to me to see him end up like this.
And so much pain, too.
Yeah.
Now, I know the Red Sox brought their team plane to him and brought him over to Mass General, which I really appreciate the Red Sox doing that. It shows that they care about their players, and most importantly, they care about their icons, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they sent down a ambulance jet, as it's been referred to. It's a it's just a Bombardier brand Learjet that executives use to, like, you know, travel across country to different meetings and stuff. But it's been reconfigured inside to carry hospital patients, you know? So that was ideal for him since he was, at the time, sedated, and he was in really rough condition. He just got out of surgery in the Dominican, and they picked him up in Santo Domingo and flew him to Boston. He's currently in the intensive care unit at Mass General Hospital, and he is awake, from what I've heard, and he's had family visit him, you know. And right now, they're just asking for privacy, I guess, as he recovers. But he should be moved out of ICU, I believe, next week, I heard.
Last thing I heard about him is that he took his first steps. I know that they damaged some of his organs, internal organs.
Yeah.
And from what it sounds, I know he's in stable condition now, but it sounded like it really messed him up.
Yeah, yeah. The bullet entered his back. It damaged his intestines. It damaged a part of his colon, which I believe ended up needing to be reconstructed. It went through one of his kidneys, I believe, and they had to remove his gallbladder. And it exited out of his stomach.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really messed up thing to see, you know.
What I learned from this experience is that we are not ready to lose David Ortiz anytime soon. David Ortiz,
right?
He's a fighter. And I'll tell you what, like, even just the thought of losing David Ortiz makes me sad.
Yeah, yeah. I would have lost it if, you know, God forbid anything happened to him. It sounds like he's going to be all right now, so it feels a little better to talk about that. But,
yeah.
Like, oh, just, I mean, the way the city reacted, the way his former teammates reacted, watching Pedro Martinez just break down on live TV.
Yeah.
And watching Jason Veritek in that interview, I mean, it's really emotional, you know, and it shows how much those guys cared for him, not just for his ability to, you know, perform in clutch situations and hit home runs and play baseball, but just, you know, who he was to them as a friend, you know, personally. So it's a really rough thing that Poppy, his family, and Red Sox Nation are going through, but it's good to see that he's looking towards recovery now. So,
yeah, honestly, I love the reaction from everybody around, you know?
Yeah.
Giving their condolences. I mean, it blew up the internet.
Yeah.
As it should. David Ortiz is an icon.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Wednesday night, game 7 of the Bruins game, Julian Edelman was there, and he was wearing a Poppy jersey. And it was just awesome to see everybody, you know, show support for him. So.
Well, I hope he makes a full recovery and that he is stronger from it. So, on to the Game 7 now. Now, we're recording this the day after. And, you know, we lost 4-1 to the Blues, Game 7. I was with you when we watched it.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the game?
It was a rough game for the Bruins defensively. I mean, offensively, we were really, really pushing it to the Blues, but to be honest, their goalie, Bennington, he had an amazing game.
Oh, yeah. He saved 32 of 33 shots.
Yeah, and, you know, Tuukka, he had an okay game, but, like, you know.
Yeah, see, I think he was pretty trash. Not gonna
yeah, lie. It was not a good game, especially as far as Tuukka is concerned, because, you know, he's proven to be a really good goalie. I mean, just look at Game 6. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then Game 7 comes around, and it's just not the same Tuukka that we saw, you know?
I don't think he was as good in this final than he was in the conference finals. Against the Hurricanes, he was unstoppable. But
yeah.
I think that break kind of messed with his mojo a little bit.
Because
he was absolutely unstoppable. But, you know, we swept the Hurricanes. I think the Blues went to 7 games against the Sharks. And, you know, I think at that time, he kind of lost some of his flair that he was going with because he was unstoppable. Nobody could stop him.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you know, all in all, it was a really interesting game to see. I'm happy for the Blues. I'm glad it's the Blues and not the Sharks winning the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
The Blues deserve this, you know. So I congratulate them personally, you know, being a born and raised New Englander. But.
Well, I think about it this way, you know. The Blues, they just ended a 52-year drought. I know it's hard for especially our age group to understand, like, the Red Sox's drought.
Mm.
86 years. They went 86 years without winning a title. They just finished. Now, the Blues just lost one of their droughts, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, I know we've won a lot since then, but I don't want us to forget about how we felt when we were going through that same misery.
Yeah.
That misery's over now, and we've had several great seasons since then. But, you know, I know that a couple people that I talked to about the game were super bummed that we lost. It's like, well, we've also won 2 titles for this city in 1 year. We were 1 win away from winning it and having 3 titles.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want us as a city to get spoiled. So I'm kind of glad. I shouldn't say we're glad, because I would have loved to go to the parade and I would have loved to see another title.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
we would have canceled recording today to go to the parade, bro. Let's be real.
Absolutely. But I don't want us as a city to get greedy. I don't want us to become the Yankees fans or the Cowboys fans. And honestly, like, I feel like some of us are becoming that way.
Yeah. But, yeah, that and another thing, too, is we have a history, at least in the 21st century, of, you know, kind of stomping St. Louis in championship games. So I guess it's pretty interesting to see St. Louis take a chip from us for a change, you know?
Yeah, because we beat the Cardinals in 2004 and in 2013.
Yeah, we beat the Rams when they were in St. Louis.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
And then we took the Blues 7 games, you know. It was a really good series, too, you know. Both teams had a lot of talent behind them. And one thing I'd like to say, too, is I'm glad that it wasn't poor officiating that decided this game.
Absolutely.
The officiating, I believe, was really well done last night, Game 7. By the time you guys are listening, it would be Wednesday night, but still, you know. I think the refs did a really good job. So everybody likes to diss on the refs when they're doing poorly or making mistakes. So I'd like to congratulate them for their performance in Game 7. I think that was really well done. But
I think they swallowed the whistle. There was only one penalty the entire game, which was crazy. Especially in a Game 7 where you know everyone's going to be aggressive.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think the Bruins played very well defensively, and it looked like they had bad stick handling. Tuukka only saved 16 of 20 shots, and some of the goals that he gave up were like, come on, dude. One went right through the five hole. Some of the other ones were just absolutely pathetic. Tuca did not have a good game. So, you know, on the other side of it, the Blues, they were dead last in February. I'm sorry, January. Mm-hmm. And they made it all the way to the postseason, went through some really tough opponents. The Sharks are not a team to mess with. I mean, the Sharks are a good team. They're historically good. And they fought through it. So kudos to the Blues. And, you know, I hope that, you know, they can, you know, have the same success next year. Maybe not a Stanley Cup final because, you know, I kind of want another one now.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, I just think that these are the only two teams of my predictions that were holding me account, you know, making me look good. So,
yeah.
As far as my predictions, this NHL postseason did not go the way I was expecting to. I think my prediction was, I want to say I had the Lightning making it to the finals. That whiffed. That was a fat whiff.
Funny how that one aged, yep.
And then, you know, I think I had the Blues in the finals. I could be wrong. But what a great postseason. And I'm excited to see next season and where things go from here.
Yeah.
I think Sedano Char is going to retire. That's my prediction. It would have been nice to see him get another cup, but he's won a cup, so good for him.
Yeah, just to see him play with a broken jaw, too. Let's mention that for a second.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. That's the most badass thing I've seen all year.
Oh, yeah.
You break your jaw, it's wired shut, you can't even talk, and you got all your gear on. You're out there playing hockey, ramming into guys. Unbelievable. So
Char's an icon here.
Yeah.
He's an icon after that. Like, he was already a legend in Boston, but now that he did that, that makes him an icon.
Yeah, yep.
On the other side of it, in the NBA Finals, KD tried to do the same thing. He had a calf sprain. I want to say it was the second round against the Rockets. Didn't play at all in their sweep against the Trailblazers. Didn't play the first four games. He goes and plays Game 5. The Warriors are down 3-1 against the Raptors. KD plays the first two quarters, and he's incredible, honestly. He had 11 points, 3-for-3, played really well, and then all of a sudden he's being guarded by Kawhi, and next thing you know, he ruptures his Achilles.
Yeah, no, it was really bad to see that happen to him, you know. He was just trying to push through it, you know, and it sucks dealing with an injury like that at a time like this.
Yeah.
You know, because not only is he trying to help bring his team a title, but he's also, you know, going into free agency in the off season, you know, so.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see where it goes from here because, I mean, he has a player option, but now his free agency looks a lot more rocky. I don't think he's going to leave now.
Hmm.
That's what I don't think, because, I mean, you're going to miss most of next season, and then what are you going to do? You're going to come back and play, you know, however many games, maybe you play 15 games so that the Knicks can be a 10th seed?
Yeah.
Because the Knicks without KD are still going to be garbage. The Clippers without him, they're still going to be fighting for a postseason spot. Why are you going to leave? What's your reasoning to leave? And honestly, after seeing the way his teammates reacted to him and his general manager, Bob Myers, and just seeing how people in Golden State responded to that, I feel like now he feels like this is home to him.
Yeah. Also, if the Raptors beat Golden State, I think it's definite that he's re-signing with the Warriors. You know?
Well, I know that the argument's been that they don't need KD, and I was somebody that believed that too.
Yeah.
But after seeing them go down to 3-1 against the Raptors and how badly they really needed him and just everybody else being injured, I think that now he feels as if that he's not just a hired gun. He's his own.
Yeah.
He's a part of their team now. Golden State needs KD. KD needs the Warriors. So if he's smart, I say he at least does another year with the Golden State Warriors. If he wants to move on after that, so be it. But next year, Draymond's up for contract after next season.
Yeah.
And I feel like Draymond is probably going to walk because if I'm Golden State, I'm not giving him the max. No offense to Draymond, but he doesn't deserve the max.
Yeah.
He's not a terrible player. I think he's a good player, but he's not worth $30 million.
Yeah.
He's worth probably just about as much as Iggy. Iggy's about $18 million. I think he's worth about $18 million, maybe $20 million.
So if KD stays, do you think that secures some more, I guess you could say, longevity for the Warriors dynasty? Or do you think it's still going to start to decline?
Well, I mean, they've made the finals 5 times in a row. So there's definitely some fatigue. You can tell by just looking at their everybody being injured. I mean,
yeah.
you have 5 finals appearances. And now, granted, even if you sweep everybody, you're still playing an extra 16 games on top of the 82 games a season.
Yeah.
So you're playing 100 games a season for the last 5 seasons minimum. Never mind the fact that you had a Game 7 against the Thunder. You had a Game 7 against the Rockets. You had a couple against the Cavaliers. Like, you had a lot of long series, too.
Yeah.
And eventually, I don't see them being a dynasty for much longer. That's why I'm trying to appreciate it, because, I mean, even this year, even without KD, they swept the Trailblazers. And, you know, Steph was incredible, as always. And, you know, I think after next year, that's when you'll really know if we're going to stay intact or not. I think what KD's going to do, he's going to do at least one more year with the Warriors. And then when it comes time, we'll see what happens with Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson's going to resign. But we'll see what happens from there. I don't see any reason why they can't continue it next season.
Yeah.
Maybe a season after that. But then it starts to come into, like, all right, well, KD's 29 now. He'll be, what, 30 after the end of next season.
Mm-hmm.
And then season after that, he'll be 31. Eventually, they're all going to go out of their primes. And then you'll have somebody else on the plane, free agency. There might be some people who go somewhere. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what will happen, but I think the Warriors have some legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if some of their players are getting older.
Definitely, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with KD. Now, on the other end of the finals, though, we have Kawhi Leonard, who has proven to be an extreme asset to Toronto.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's been going off in the postseason. So tell me, does Kawhi stay or does he move on?
Well, I think he's going to stay. I really do. I think Kawhi Leonard's going to stay.
Interesting, because you seem to think that he's going to walk last couple of times we've talked about this.
I know, but I think I might change my opinion on this one because, I mean, the thing is Kawhi's weird. He's a weird man. He doesn't talk. He's kind of, he's kind of isolated. But after seeing him play in the finals and after I see him carrying the team, why are you leaving to go to the Clippers? I mean, he doesn't like the spotlight. He doesn't like talking at press conferences. So why are you going to go to L.A., which is one of the biggest markets in the world? You stay in Toronto. You have your own country. You have some good pieces around you. I can't say I love Kyle Lowry, but I mean, Pascal Siakam. Oh, Pascal Siakam's my boy.
He's a baller.
I love Siakam.
Yep.
You got Ibaka, who's a pretty solid player. And I think that they can pick up some good players.
You think so?
Via the trade. Maybe not free agency, but like via trades. I think they can still mix things up if they needed to.
Yeah.
But I think Kawhi's going to stay. I used to think that he was going to go to the Clippers, that is. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, if he's about to win a title with them and he already is somebody who doesn't like, you know, talking to people, and he doesn't like the crowds. He likes to do his own thing. He likes to ball. I don't see why he would want to go to L.A.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could understand wanting to go to L.A. You know, it's an iconic sports city. You got the palm trees. It's all nice, sunny. Really, really devoted fans for both the respective NBA teams. Even with the Clippers, there are a lot of people going around the Clippers right now, too, you know?
Yeah.
And for good reason. I mean, they're starting to build up, you know? I didn't think at the beginning of the season that they would have a better record than the Lakers. But, you know, of course, then again, a lot's gone on with the Lakers, so that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think after the success he's found in Toronto this season, I think he's going to stay. I think he's going to re-sign. More definitely than not, anyway. So
now, for me, I would see the reaction of the crowd cheering KD being injured and be absolutely disgusted and would want to leave. But, you know, I don't know if it's a big factor for Kawhi, but after I saw them cheer for KD getting injured, never mind the fact that he got injured, the fact that he tore his Achilles and that people were waving goodbye to him, that's absolutely disrespectful to anybody. It doesn't matter whether they're on the Warriors, whether they're on the Knicks, whether they're on any team. If somebody's injured, you have to show some respect. I understand that they're a player on an opposing team, but cheering for their injury, and that's an injury that could be career, and maybe not career ending, but it could completely ruin his career.
Yeah.
But they're just cheering for it because, oh, here we are. We're going to win the title now. It's like, you don't deserve the title now.
Yeah.
At that point. Like, that's beyond disrespectful. Athletes are also humans. So you need to treat everybody with respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I think that was really, really shitty to do, you know. There were different people courtside that I saw, you know, gave him some respect. There were Raptors players that were, you know, patting him on the back, just showing him, hey, you know, I feel for you. Even Drake went up to him, you know, and Drake was seemed really, really just crushed that he was leaving with an injury, you know.
Well, he was, I mean, even though he looked good for the first quarter, he was definitely not 60%.
Yeah.
He was pretty much, like, from what I was told, from what I heard from some sources, was that he was, like, they did a workout with KD, and it didn't go well.
Hmm.
But he pretty much forced their hand. He's like, I really want to play game five.
And he was probably the deciding factor in that game because they lost by 1 point. If he didn't start that game, maybe the Raptors would have a title right now.
And I think that the Warriors rallied behind him, too.
Yeah, honestly. So I think he might have been the reason they won that night.
Yeah.
Especially away from home with all those Raptors fans in the stands, you know?
Yeah. Now, game six is tonight. When you hear this, the game will already be decided. So this could be a cold take, but I really think that the Golden State Warriors can win tonight.
Hmm.
And I hope they win game seven.
They have a chance, especially since they're playing at home. However,
and it's the last game at Oracle.
It is. That's right. However, honestly, I have the Raptors winning tonight. You know,
nah. I think the Warriors are so frustrated with how things went in Toronto that I think that Steph's going to go off, Klay's going to go off, Cousins. I don't know how Cousins going to go.
If you heard our last intro, then you know what we think of DeMarcus Cousins.
The thing is, it's like if he plays well, that helps the team so much.
Because
at this point, they need DeMarcus Cousins too. It's just too bad he can't do anything. He's fucking useless.
Yeah.
I mean, even Monday, it was 14 seconds left. They score and they might have a chance to clinch the game. And he has an offensive foul.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, really? Absolutely pathetic. He had a relatively good game yesterday. He had 14 points, 6 of 8, you know, so that's good. I'm glad they got something out of him.
But yeah.
I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is that great. I think he's a little overrated.
Yeah.
But they need him to perform. Draymond Green almost had a triple-double last game. I like the way Draymond Green plays. People don't like Draymond Green. I like Draymond Green, personally.
Yeah.
But, honestly, I hope that the Warriors win tonight, and then they win Game 7, and the Raptors choke. Because I don't want them to win a title after what they did. Hell no.
After what the fans did. Because you've got to remember, there's a difference between the fans and the players.
I know
that. Do the players deserve a title?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kawhi deserves a title. Kyle's been going off. Kyle Lowry, he's been a baller at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
I can't say that's consistent behavior for him, but he's been going crazy. Siakam's a beast, you know. I want the Raptors to have a title.
I want Golden State to have another one.
Hmm.
They've only won 3 of 4.
Ugh.
Why not have 4 or 5? It's called dominance, Will. Dominance.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they win 4 titles, I think they surpass Kobe Shaq dynasty.
I mean, there's an argument there, yeah. But at the same time, you know, I want to see the North get a ring. I think that's going to be awesome.
But fuck Canada. Fuck Toronto. Fuck the Raptors.
Okay, Colin. Take it easy. Colin Coward.
I don't want to deal with these clowns.
Yeah.
So, episode 4, I ranted about how there's this top 3 phenomenon where one of the top 3 picks will be a bust.
Hmm.
And I knew that it wasn't going to be Zion. I'm like, is it going to be RJ or is it going to be Ja Morant? Well, I have the answer for you guys today, who that bust is going to be. And that person is Ja Morant. Ja Morant is going to be the bust. Etch it in stone. Come back 5 years from now, listen to this podcast, and be like, wow, Zach is Nostradamus. Zach can predict the future. Holy shit. So I'm going to give you a few reasons why Ja Morant's going to be a bust. For one, the Grizzlies are picking him.
Mm.
The Grizzlies have picked in the lottery 14 times. Now, granted, some of those picks are, 13, 14, whatever. But in most of their picks, they pick the wrong guy. Now, I'm going to start in the beginning. Now, they've been a team since 1995. Their first lottery pick, they pick Brian Reeves. Brian Reeves flamed out after 6 years. He struggled with weight control and injuries. And the very next pick was the rookie of the year. 1996, they picked this man named Sharif Abdur-Rahim. Will, have you ever heard of that man before?
No.
Exactly. They picked him third. You want to know who they picked right after? These two picks right after him?
What?
Stephon Marbury and Ray Allen. Ray Allen, maybe you've heard of him. He's the best three-point shooter of all time before Steph Curry.
Oh, you mean that Ray Allen?
That Ray Allen.
Oh, that's interesting.
2008 NBA Finals champion with the Celtics, and then they won again when he, sold his soul to the Miami Heat. 1997. So this is 3 picks in a row they picked the wrong guy. They pick Antonio Daniels. Five picks before they had Tracy McGrady. Tracy McGrady was picked 5 picks after him. Daniels left the team after 1 season.
Hmm.
Next year. That's right. 4 years in a row they picked the wrong guy. They pick Mike Bibby. Now, I don't want to disrespect Mike Bibby. Mike Bibby was a solid player for the Sacramento Kings. Keyword, Sacramento Kings. They picked Mike Bibby second. Number 5 was Vince Carter. Number 9 was Dirk Nowitzki. And number 10 was Paul Pierce. So on the board, they see Mike Bibby, Vince Carter, Dirk, and Paul Pierce. And they're like, I don't know who to pick. How about we pick Mike Bibby, the one who had the littlest bit of impact on NBA history?
Mm.
Vince Carter is arguably the greatest dunker of all time. Dirk Nowitzki is one of the best players of all time.
Mm. Definitely the best foreign player of all time.
Easily. And then Paul Pierce. And Paul Pierce, who he thinks that he's better than Dwayne Wade, but that's a whole nother argument. He's not.
Yeah.
Then, 1999, they hit. They got the guy. His name is Steve Francis. And what do? He's traded. They trade him, and he pops.
And he pops. Probably because he didn't stay with the Grizzlies, let's be real.
Exactly.
He would have been a bust if he stayed with the team, but...
So, after 4 picks in a row, they picked the wrong guy. So, after they had 4 misses in a row, they hit Steve Francis, and they miss. Well, then the next year, they come back with Stromely Swift. Have you ever heard of that man?
No.
That is because he has a colossal bust, one of the biggest busts of all time. He averaged 8.4 points a game. Granted, it was a weak draft, but he was picked before Hedo Turkoglu and Jamal Crawford. But wait, there's more.
If you order now.
Do you hear that? Do you see the pattern here? 2001, they picked Shane Battier. Now, I'm not dissing Shane Battier. Shane Battier was a solid player. No disrespect. Joe Johnson was picked 10th. 2002. Now, this is 3 years in a row now after they hit Steve Francis and they traded him. They picked Drew Gooden. Drew Gooden played 1 season with the Grizzlies. Picks 9 and 10 were Amari Stoudemire and Caron Butler. Much better players than Drew Gooden. And then, skip ahead a little bit. 2008, they draft Kevin Love. Now, Kevin Love... No, just 5-time All-Star, NBA champion. But wait, there's more. They trade Kevin Love on draft night for O.J. Mayo, who was pick number 3. Kevin Love was pick number 5. They get O.J. Mayo Antoine Walker, Greg Buckner, and Marco Jarrett. So what the Timberwolves get is a five-time All-Star and an NBA champion. Now, the Grizzlies get O.J. Mayo. O.J. Mayo was a good player, but he also was a locker room cancer. He fought with his teammates, showed up late for shoot-arounds, and he tested positive for steroids. He later said it was because of an energy drink. Yeah, okay, buddy. Antoine Walker was by then long washed up. He only played two preseason games before he was cut. Two games. Preseason, by the way, which don't mean anything.
Yikes.
And then Marco Jarrett and Buckner both averaged 2.5 points a game, and they only played one season with them. So essentially, what they got, they essentially traded Kevin Love for O.J. Mayo, because all the other players didn't do anything.
Mm.
O.J. Mayo played four seasons with them, solid player, but a locker room cancer, which ruins the chemistry of the team, which ruins the overall success of the team.
Mm.
But wait, there's more. Just wait. Just think. Just wait. 2009, they pick arguably the biggest bust in NBA history. Now, this goes along with my top three phenomenon. In between Blake Griffin at number one and James Harden at number three, they pick Hashim Thabeet. Now, I recently got into basketball then, and I was rooting for Hashim Thabeet. He played for UConn. He was tall. He was great. I loved Hashim Thabeet. I watched him in college in March Madness. I loved him. Also on the board, they had Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, and Tyreek Evans. What happened with Hashim Thabeet? He played two seasons with the Grizzlies, but he averaged 2 points a game.
Mm.
As the second overall pick.
Yikes.
And one final note. This is just one of my takes, by the way. I got one more thing I got to mention. 2018, well, I know it's still early. It's last year's draft. Right before, okay, so they picked up Jaren Jackson. And, you know, he looks promising. The pick right after is Trae Young.
Mm.
And Trae Young looks more promising than Jaren Jackson.
Hmm. Interesting.
Now, you're probably thinking, all right, why are you beating on John Morant? What did he ever do to you? Well, a couple weeks ago, he had minor arthroscopic surgery to clear out loose body in his knee so it would prevent future injury.
Hmm.
That's a bad sign if he's already having this kind of injury.
Yeah.
Now, it might be small, whatever, whatever. He's also deemed a late bloomer. You know who was a late bloomer? Markelle Fultz.
Hmm.
Look what happened to Markelle Fultz. He's broken.
Yeah.
Completely broken.
Hmm.
Now you have RJ Barrett, who, you know, played at Duke with Zion. Zion also played at Duke. We're not talking about Zion. Zion's a can't miss. RJ Barrett has this godparent named Steve Nash, Hall of Famer. He's got some great players around him. And he's going to probably go to the Knicks, who, granted, they're dysfunctional, but they have David Fizdale as their coach. He might get an all-star surrounded by him. So it looks more promising for R.J. Barrett than the NBA purgatory that is Memphis Grizzlies.
Mm.
John Morant's already having knee problems. The Grizzlies always miss. You've seen the two players that they hit on, they traded.
Mm.
Steve Francis and Kevin Love.
Yeah.
So I just want to hear what you got to think about this because –
honestly a very interesting string of history that you've brought to our attention here. I mean, you know, you see all that bad luck, I guess you could say, with drafting. And I feel like the two players they did miss on, like if they got Love, for example, I feel like he would have been a bust anyway just because of Memphis. But at the same time, you know, yeah, honestly, out of the top three picks right now, it looks like he's going to be the least likely to perform the way the teams want him to.
And also, he went to Murray State, never had an all-star in their history. They've only drafted the only players that have been drafted in the NBA from Murray State. There's eight players, and the last player was Cameron Payne.
Hmm.
Cameron Payne is not an all-star if you don't know that. So I'm convinced that Ja Morant's the bust. Now, everybody thinks that he's going to be king shit and everything else because, you know, he can shoot, he can pass, he can do everything.
Maybe if the Knicks pick him up.
I don't think that's going to happen. It looks like the Grizzlies are going to pick Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And knowing the Grizzlies' history, they're going to probably screw it up. Now, I didn't mention that they picked Mike Conley, because Mike Conley's been great. I didn't mention that they picked up Marcus Banks, who wasn't shit, but it was picked 13, so I'm not going to give him shit for that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention just a few names there that I mentioned there. You know, Stroman Swift, bust. Antonio Daniels, bust. Sharif Abdur-Rahim, bust. Brian Reeves, bust. Drew Gooden, bust. So, I'm glad you guys could hear my take on that one.
Mm.
Speaking of disappointing, the Boston Red Sox.
Oh no.
Now, I'm very disappointed in the Red Sox, as you can tell. I've been bitching at Will for pretty much, I don't know.
Since the season started, probably.
I was on board. I'm like, you know what? This is just a World Series hangover. They'll be okay. Well, guess what, damn it? It's mid-June now. Wake the fuck up.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because, like, you know, you have, like, Chris Sale, for example. Chris Sale, I know he has a losing record so far, but almost every game that I've seen him play, he's gotten more than, you know, 10 strikeouts. Even the games that he's lost, you know? So I think the big problem right now is the fact that our bullpen keeps blowing games, and it's that our big offensive players aren't really having their year. Mookie Betts is kind of underperforming considering, you know, as far as Mookie Betts is concerned anyway. You know, I just feel like there's room to improve. I think defensively we're doing okay. I think, you know, starting pitching is doing, you know, it's okay at the moment, but then you have, like, the bullpen. We don't have an official closer. How can we be within playoff contention without a closer? I'm sorry, but that's not going to last.
And it's crazy because last week, the Chicago Cubs, who also have bullpen problems, they picked up this guy named Craig Kimbrell.
Mm.
Why didn't we think to sign him? He would have been a great addition.
Yeah.
I mean, he played great last year with what was that team's name again? Oh, yeah, it was the Boston Red Sox. They had a bona fide closer then.
It was because of his performance in the playoffs. That's literally it.
That's trash. That's absolutely garbage. Then why didn't you pay Joe Kelly?
Yeah.
Absolutely garbage.
We let him walk, too. He's with the Dodgers now, who are, by the way, most likely going to the World Series again.
And they have the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
And they have this MVP named Cody Bellinger. And they have the best run differential. And they have a 9.5-game lead over the Rockies. So, I think the Dodgers know what the hell they're doing. We're 7.5 games behind the Yankees.
Mm.
The evil empire, who, you know, has absolutely stomped us this year. I just want to share a fact with you right now.
Uh-oh.
Now, against the Rays and the Yankees this year, you want to know what our record is, Will?
What?
5-9.
Mm.
You want to know what our... And against the Astros and Indians, we're 3-6. A total of 8-15 against what I would consider postseason teams. Now, granted, the Indians have not played fantastic, but regardless, you know, they're in wild card contention.
Mm.
And they were good last season. But last year, our record against them at this point in the season was 14-9.
Yeah.
We were 14-9 against these teams, and now we're 8-15. It's like our record has flipped around.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in this team.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of room where we have to improve. I'm just trying to figure out going forward, maybe if we pick up some kind of closer during the trade deadline, perhaps.
We need to.
And then maybe we pick up some other pitchers to strengthen our bullpen, you know.
We need to.
And then just work on our players that are already, you know, known to be offensive powerhouses like Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez. And then at the same time, we do have some young talent that's shown a lot of promise. Michael Chavis is an absolute baller.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he's contending for the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Yep. So there's still a chance, okay?
We need to wake the fuck up, though.
But, yeah, it's one of those things where we got to start playing good now. So.
We're one game above 500, and that's because we beat the Rangers last night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be bitching at you that we're below 500, 69 games into the season.
Mm.
Our run differential is 30.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting. You know, it's sad when Now, no disrespect to the Twins, but we have a better record than that. They have a better record than us.
Mm.
If you would have said that to me last, you know, beginning of the season, I would have been pissed. Now, I'm not going to disrespect the Twins because the Twins have been incredible this season. Run differential of plus 110.
Mm.
But I'm disappointed because I know we have the talent. I know we have the hitters. We have the pitchers. We don't have a bullpen, though. And that's because we didn't sign anybody. We didn't do anything to improve ourselves.
Yeah.
One thing I can say about the Yankees is that they went out and they got James Paxton. They went out. They got some arms for the bullpen. They tried their best to strengthen their rotation, which was already strong beforehand.
Yeah.
I can give them credit for that.
And now the Yankees, you know, they're at the top of the AL East. It'd be interesting to see the Yankees actually have some extended success in the postseason this year instead of just being first-round exits, you know.
Well, they're not going to have to run into us anymore because that's if we even make the postseason.
Yeah, but
we're going to need to smarten up because I'm not liking how we're playing because.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but, you know.
But, well, I think that's all we have time for today. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We post our episodes every Friday at 9 a.m. And share with your friends if you can. I would really appreciate it. And you guys have a great day. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Take it easy.